and then a wonderful thing happened. Simon Cotton said, "But, oh, this is a miracle. You must be the author of Jacob Wrestling." Father stared at him, with a look in his eyes that I can only describe as desperate. Then he said, "Why, yes," in a curious, tentative way, and I suddenly realized that he was terribly pleased, but not quite believing. Simon Cotton came up and shook hands and introduced his brother, saying, "Neil, you remember Jacob Wrestling?" Neil said, "Yes, of course, he was splendid." By which I knew that he thought Jacob Wrestling was the name of a character in the book, instead of meaning Jacob Wrestling with the Angel, as it really does. Simon began to talk of the book as if he had only just put it down, though I gathered gradually that he'd studied it in college years ago. At last Father flung the rug off as if it were hampering him, and strode over to the table, saying, "Coco, Coco!" It might have been the most magnificent drink in the world, which, personally, I think it is. All the time, Rose got nicer and nicer, smiling and gentle. She sat by the fire, nursing Ab the cat, who was nearly the same colour as her hair. And the Cottons kept wandering over to stroke him. I could see they were fascinated by everything. And then, just when everything was going swimmingly, Simon Cotton asked the one question I had been praying he wouldn't ask. He turned to Father and said, "And when may we expect the successor to Jacob Wrestling?" I knew I ought to create a diversion by upsetting my cocoa, but I did so want it, and while I was struggling with my greed, Father answered, "Never." He didn't say it angrily or bitterly. He just breathed it, and I don't suppose anyone but me saw that he somehow deflated. But almost before I had taken this in, Simon Cotton said, "Well, there couldn't be, of course, when one comes to think of it." Father shot a look at him, and he went on quickly. "Certain unique books seem to be without forerunners or successors as far as their authors are concerned. The originators among writers, perhaps in a sense the only true creators, dip deep and bring up one perfect work. Complete, not a link in a chain. Later they dip again for something as unique." I think it was really a kind and clever way of sliding over a difficult moment, though, if so, he must have been very quick to realize how difficult the moment was. Then Simon Cotton asked him a question about the third dream in Jacob Wrestling, and he came to life again. I haven't seen him so alive since the year he married Topaz. At last Thomas came in to say the horses were waiting. Father and I sloshed down the lane with the Cottons to see the car hauled out. After that, the goodbyes were rather hurried, but both the Cottons said that they would see us again soon, and I'm sure they meant it. When we went to bed, Rose and I talked. Suddenly I sat up in bed and said, "Rose, we're working it up too much. We mustn't. Of course it'll be wonderful if we're asked to parties and things, but, Rose, you couldn't marry that man with the beard." "I could marry the devil himself if he had some money," said Rose. I'm pretty sure she was remembering Simon Cotton's shadow, but as she didn't mention it, I didn't. After we had blown the candles out, I made Miss Blossom talk. I can never think of the sorts of things she says unless I pretend she is really saying them. When I asked her what she thought about it all, she answered, "Well, it's a start, girlies. There's no denying that. Now you just make the best of yourselves. Wash your hair and keep your hands nice. That green stuff on them's funny for once, but the joke's over. And now you better think of your complexions and get some beauty sleep."